begin the current daven, Sefer Baba Basra, Daf Dalet. Begin on the top line of the Yamet, where the Gemara continues the story from the previous daf, which was talking about the halacha that a person is not allowed to destroy a Beis HaKnesses, a shul, before another one is built. And that the Gemara had asked, how did Bava Membuta give counsel to Hordus to destroy the Beis HaMikdash before a new one was built? So the Gemara started the incident explaining what was the prelude to this, which was that Hordus was an Eved from the Chashmenom. He heard a bas call, a heavenly voice, that whoever rebels now will be successful. He killed all his masters, killed out the whole Hashmonaim dynasty, and then he went and he usurped that and he took over that throne. But since the rabbis were the ones who interpreted the pasuk that a king cannot be from a slave, so he killed out all the rabbis, and he left Bava Membuta just to take counsel from him, and he blinded his eyes. So the Gemara continues that story. So Yom Echad Asav Yosef Kameh. So one day Hordus came and sat in front of Bava Membuta, who Bava Membuta couldn't see. He was blind. He didn't know who was sitting next to him. So Amar, so Hordus said to Bava Membuta, Chazi mar hai avda bisha my kovah. Do you see what this disgraceful slave has done? Here he is, he kills out all the rabbis. So Amalei, so Bava Membuta said to this man, who is Hordus himself, my avadle, what should I do to him? So Amalei niltai mar. So he says, let the master curse him. So Amalei, so Bava Membuta said to him, Ksiv, it says a pasuk in Kehelis, gam b'mada acha, that even in your thoughts, even without speech, melech al tekal, you shouldn't curse a king. So Amalei, so Hordus said to him, I love melechu, he's not a king. It's not appropriate. A king has to be from one of the finest of the Jewish people, and he's not. Amalei, so Bava said to him, v'lahava ashabam, okay, but let him at least be considered a wealthy person. Hordus was very wealthy, he was the king. Uksivan says there in that same pasuk, u'bechadri mishkaf chal tekal asher, and that in your bedrooms you should not curse a wealthy person. More of a Bava says to him, let him not be less than a prince, meaning than a governor. Like it says the pasuk in Shemais, v'nasi ba'am chalitar, that a prince amongst you, you shouldn't curse. So that much, even if he's not a king, a melech, but he still has positions of royalty, and therefore it's not befitting to curse him. So Amalei, so Hordus said to him, but ba'isa ma'isa amcha, that's only but someone says v'nasi ba'amcha, someone that does the actions of your people, of your nation, v'hai lav ba'isa ma'isa amcha, he doesn't do the things of your nation, he's a rasha, he's a bad person. So Amalei, mistafina minei, so Bava said, I'm afraid of him, to go ahead and to curse him. Amalei, so Hordus said, there's no one here that's going to go and tell him, da'anova at yisivna, it's just me and you, the two of us sitting over here, and no one hears us. So Amalei, so Bava said to him, Ksiv, it says over there in that pasuk, Ki eifa shemayim yelech esakha, because the birds in the heaven will take your voice, uval knafayim yagadav, and the winged creature will say over your thing. So although it just seems like just me and you, he'll end up hearing. So Amalei, so Hordus, after this whole discussion, said to Bava Membuta, Anahu, I am him, meaning I am Hordus. Ihavi yadana, the zari rabban, kulehai, had I known that the rabbis are so careful, I would not have killed them. Hashta Maita Kanti de Hugabas, he said to Bava Membuta, so now what is the rectification? What is the takana? Well, how could I fix the evil that I've done? So Amalei, so Bava Membuta said to Hordus, who, meaning a reference to Hordus, he was Kava Irish Alaylam, he extinguished the light of the world. So like it says the Pasuk in Mishlei, Kiner Mitzvah, because the commandment is like the candle. The Torah, and the Torah is the light. And the Tamid HaChacham are the light of the world, and he killed them all out, he extinguished light. Yelik v'yasik be'oyu shaloylim. So let him go ahead and involve himself now in bringing light back to the world, the light of the world, which is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. The Chassidic says the Pasuk in Yeshaya, v'naharei lov kol hagoyim, that all the nations of the world stream towards that place. So you extinguish light by killing Tamid HaChacham, bring light back by building the Beis HaMikdash. Ikedam mihachi amaleva. Those who say a different version, what he told them was, he blinded the eye of the world, which is a reference to the Talmid HaChachamim. So like it says, the pasuk in Mamidbar says, that if it will be a lapse of an error from the eyes of the assembly, reference to the supreme Talmid HaChachamim, the Sanhedrin, that they're going to make a mistake in halacha. So you see they're called the eyes of the assembly, of the Jewish people. So yelech v'yisasik be'ein shalom, let it go ahead and involve himself with the eye of the world, which is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So like it says, the pasuk in Yechezkel, Hashem says, "Hini mechales mikdashi, I will disgrace my temple. Ga'in uschem, the pride of your might. Machmar einechem, the desire of your eyes." So you see that that's called the eyes to the Jewish people. So Amalei, so Hurda said to Bava Mbuta, but Mistafina Mimachusa, I'm afraid of the government, because the Jewish government at that time was subservient to the Roman government. So I'm afraid to go ahead and start building the Beis HaMikdash. They're going to see that as a sign of trouble. So Amalei, so Bava Mbuta said to him, look, Shadr Shalucha, Shadr Shalucha, send an agent, send a messenger, V'lezel Shata, let him take a year until he gets from Israel to Rome. V'la'akam Shata, let him delay a year over there in the process of trying to get the permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. And v'la'hadr Shata, let him take a year to come back. And the hachi v'hachi, in the meantime, it's going to take a period of 3 years, sastrus le uvanis le, you'll already have destroyed the old Beis HaMikdash and built a new one. So says the Gemara, avad hachi, that's what he did. Now, shalchile, when the messenger came back with the response from the Roman government, they sent back as follows. Imle sitarta altista. If you didn't yet destroy the old Beis HaMikdash to build a new one, don't destroy it. Vim sisarta altivni. If you already destroyed the old one, don't build a new one. Vim sisarso venisan. If you had already destroyed and built it by the time you get this message. Avdi bisha, wicked servants, basad avdin mismalchim. After they do, then they take permission. Meaning a reference to Hordis, who was a slave, that he had already done it before he got the response. Im zaynach alach, if you pride yourself because of your might, of your sword, because you killed out your whole, all your masters, sifruch kan, your book, meaning your Sefer Yuchsin, your book of lineage, is here by us in Rome. We know that you're a slave. Loi racha, v'loi bar racha. You're not a king, you're not the son of a king. Hordis avde klanyim es avid. It's Hordis the slave that made himself a free man by killing all his masters and made himself king. But don't pride yourself, we know who you really are. Ask the Gemara, my racha, what does this term mean when they said that he's not a racha? It means malchusa, it means a king, it means kingship. So like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, anoichi hayoyim baracha meshuach melech. Today I am rach and anointed as a king, so we see that it's a reference to being a king. Or if you could bring a proof from a pasuk in Bereishis, v'yikaru lefan of avreich, they called Yosef, when he was the Mishnah Lamelech, an avreich, who he was the father, he was a reich, which is this term of being a king. The Gemara tells us the army, they said, Mishlei Rav ben Yehordis, whoever didn't see this structure, this edifice of the Beis HaMikdash of that Hordis had made, like Rav ben Yehordis didn't see a beautiful structure in all his days. So the Gemara asks, "B'mai banya, with what did he build it?" So Amar Rabbi says, "Ba'avnei Shaisha, it was with green marble, u'marmara, and with white marble." It could tell me that those that say that it was ba'avnei kuchla, it was with dyed marble, which was like blue, and shisha u'marmara, and with this green marble and with white marble. Now, apik shafa v'ayl shafa, one row, you build a building, you have a wall, it has rows of bricks, so one row is going out and one row is going in. And the reason why was kihichet in the kalbasidah, so that it could have the cement that was keeping it together. That is, if it was straight up, it wouldn't be holding as strong as if you have it coming in, coming out, so then the cement could hold it together. Now, savala mishayi b'dahavah, so they thought to go ahead and cover it with gold, gold plated. So Amalei Rabban, the rabbi said to him, Shavke, no, leave it as it is. The Hachi Shaper Tvei, this actually looks more beautiful. Because the Mechzi ki'idvus adiyama looks like the waves of the sea, which come and go. And the eye delights in seeing them, because since there was a row in, row out, and there was these colors of marble, it had that look of the waves of the sea. So therefore, that was better than gold plating it. Now the Gemara says, Bava ben Buta hecha avar hachi. How did Bava ben Buta do this? In other words, the Gemara had addressed in the previous daf, how could he have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash before he built a new one? So either because he saw cracks in it, and therefore that's a hetter of doing that, or because the government or king will never back down, so you know for sure you're going to get the new Beis HaMikdash. But now the Gemara is asking a different question. How did he do this to give counsel to Hordis, who was a Rasha, to rectify his sin that he did where he killed out all the Talmudic scholars? Because of Amr, Yehuda Marav, Vitam, and some says Rabbi Shuban Levi, that Memnei Man Nenesh Daniel. Why was Daniel punished? Which Gemara later on is going to explain what was his punishment. And the reason is Memnei Shehesi Eitzel Nebuchadnezzar, because he gave counsel to a wicked king, in that case Nebuchadnezzar, to rectify his sin, to the punishment that was coming to him. He gave him a tikkun, and that's why Daniel got punished. Shneimar says the pasuk in Daniel, Lohein Malka, he said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, behold, please the king, Milchi Yishbarlach, let my counsel find favor in your eyes, V'chatoich B'tzdokaprek, and your sin should be redeemed with charity, V'avaseich B'michan Anoin, and your sin should be through the grace of the poor, Hain tava arka lishlevasich begaimra. This should be the healthiness for your peace. Now, Chassid Abbas says after that was the counsel that Daniel gave him. Now, chayla mital Nebuchadnezzar malka. The next pasuk says that actually all the dream of all the punishment that was going to come on Nebuchadnezzar came on him. But Chassid Abbas says in the pasuk after that it was luktsas yarchin trei aser begaimra, that it was only at the end of 12 months. And that was because of the counsel of Daniel, who he gave him a tikkun to rectify, that it delayed the punishment for 12 months. So because Daniel gave him that idea, which was to prevent his punishment by giving him a tikkun, that's why Daniel was punished. So how was Bava ben Buta allowed to give a tikkun for Hordas, another wicked king, to prevent him from getting punished by telling him to build the Beis HaMikdash to save him from having killed all the Talmid Chacham? So Ibai Seymour says, if you want, you could say Shani Avda. A slave is different than a non-Jew. They were both wicked kings, but they were different because they chayv b'mitzvahs. Hordas was obligated in mitzvahs as an Eved Yisrael, as an Eved Kanani, and therefore he was allowed to give him a ticket in contrast to Nebuchadnezzar. V'ibay same, or if you want, you could say the Shani Beis HaMikdash. Yes, although he maybe should not have given him a ticket, but the Beis HaMikdash is different, that the Eloi Malchus le Mesvat Savni, if not for a king, it would never have been built, and therefore, although in general, one should not, as we see from Daniel, you get punished for giving a tikkun for a wicked person in that sense, but here, because of the sake of having the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, that's why he went and gave this idea to Hordas. Now, as the Gemara, v'Daniel b'nol de'anash, how do we know that Daniel was punished? So it says the Gemara, Ilei m'mishim nechsev, if you're going to say, because it says in the Pasuk in Megillas Esther, but tikkur Esther l'hasach, that Esther called to hasach. V'amar Ravi says, who's hasach? Hasach is a Daniel. That's a reference to Daniel. Now, says the Gemara, Hanichel Amanda Amar Shechatchu Megedulasai. So that's good according to the one who says, so why was Daniel called Hasach? Because the Hey is interchanged, it's one of the gutturals of Hey with Ches, Chasach, where it means that he was cut down from his greatness. Although he was always high in the government, by that time he was cut down, and that was the punishment for having given counsel to Nebuchadnezzar. Elamanda Amar Shechatchu Divri Malchus Nechtochen Alpib. But according to the one who says the reason why he was called Hasach was because of the word Chituch. That means all the words of the government were cut by his words, meaning he was the formal person who decided the government announcements. So Mayakalamema. So what are you going to say? That wasn't a punishment. That was actually still he had a high position in the government, and that's why he was called Asach. Where do we find that he was punished? It says the Gemara, Dishadyu Laguba de Ariyavasa, from the famous story where he was thrown into the pit of the lions, that although he wasn't harmed, but that was a punishment, and that was coming because he had given counsel for a tikkun to Nebuchadnezzar. So the Gemara goes back to explain the halacha of Mishnah that started off this Masechta, this Perek, that Shutafin Shirotz Las Mechitza B'Neim, so they have to do it as the Mishnah said, Hakol Kemeniga Medina. If they're going to make a wall between their two parts of the courtyard, so then you build it everything according to the custom of that country. So the Gemara says, Hakol Lasu Yimai, what is everything coming to include? Already in the Mishnah delineated, Gvil, Gazes, Kvisin, Ariach, Levain, we go through all the different types. What is, when we're saying all of it goes according to the custom of the country, coming to include? So says the Gemara, Lasuya Asr de Nehigi Behutza, to come to include a place where the custom over there is to make walls out of palm fronds, Vidafna, and the branches of the Eitz Armonim, which is called laurel, that type of a tree, where if that's the custom, then that's what they have to agree upon. They can't say that, oh, I would like this type and that type, even this type of wall, which is very meager, if that's the custom, that's what you do. Now, then the Mishnah continued and said, so lefikach, therefore, since the obligation of building this wall is on both of them, so the Mishnah said, im nafla kaislav, let's say years later this wall collapses, so hamakim v'avadim shoshneim, so the place of where the wall was up until now, and the bricks that which collapsed, belongs to, they share it to both of them. It's because we know that it's from both, because that's the halacha, that's what the Mishnah is saying. So the Gemara says, but pshita, it's pretty obvious. What, you don't have to say lefikach. Obviously, if we know that both of them have to build it, so now when it collapses years later, we know that it was from both of them. Says the Gemara, Loi Tzrich, it's necessary where Dinafal Rishusa Dechad Minayu. If let's say all the bricks, when it collapsed, fell into one of their properties. Or Inami, or you could say it, Dipaninu Chad Rishusa Didei, where one of them cleared all the debris, all the rubble, and put it into his property. So, Ma'u Detema, what would you think to say, Nahavi Idach Hamoitze Mechaveru Olav Harayo, let the other one be considered, if he wants to remove it from his friend, it's incumbent upon him to bring the proof, because ultimately, the one who has it in his property right now, he's the Muchzik, because it's in his domain. So, since we don't know, we would say that, okay, you want to prove that we both had chipped in, so you go ahead and you prove that we had done that, and until then, it's in my property, you have to prove that it's not like that. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that no, that even if it falls into one of their properties, it doesn't make a difference, since we know that they both had shared in the building of the wall. Therefore, even if it's in one of their properties right now, they're going to share the space of the wall and the bricks that collapsed. Now, the Mishnah continues, so that was speaking about regarding a courtyard. Then the Mishnah said, V'chein begin, the same halacha applies to a garden. That mokum shnogu ligdor, if it's the place where the custom is, where they usually make walls, because in a person's garden, he always has things growing, and he wants to have that privacy from other people. So then, the Mishnah said that we hold the other partner liable to have to share in that expense of building the wall. So the Gemara asks, Hagufa kasha. There seems to be a contradiction here in the Mishnah. Amrit, you say, as we just quoted, v'chein begina, that the same halacha applies to a garden. That malkum shnogu ligdor, if it's a place where they usually make a wall, then we make the other partner, the other one who has the garden right next door, to have to share in the expense of building the wall. Now, hastama, the inference is, but in general, that emechai benayse, in general a garden, if there's not an explicit custom that people usually go ahead and make walls, then we wouldn't make the other person, the other neighbor, liable in having to share the expenses of building the wall, even between the garden. On that asked the Gemara, emeseifa, look at the next case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Avol Bikka, but regarding a valley, meaning regarding an area where there's fields of grain, then Makam Shinogu Shaloi Ligdir, if it's a place where the custom is not to make walls, then Emechai Benoise. Then we don't hold the other neighbor liable to have to share in the expenses of building a wall. Now, that's if the custom is not to make a wall. The inference is Hastama, but in general, regarding grains, fields of grain, that Mechai Benoise, that we would hold the neighbor liable to have to share in the expense of making a wall. Now, ask the Gemara. Hashtestam Gina, now if we said in regard to a general garden, if it's not the custom explicitly to make a wall, but in general, a regular garden. Amrit Loi, you said that that's not the case, even though the what we call the hezekria, the damage of visual is very, very harsh, it's very high in regards to a garden, because as we explained in the previous stuff, there's always stuff growing over there. It's always like, oimid b'kameseha, which we say you're not supposed to stand and look at that, which could cause harm, and yet still we're saying it's only if it's mokum shenogu ligder that you mechayev the other one. But if it's not stama, then he wouldn't have to. So stam bikka mibayah, so then a general bikka, a general place where there's grain fields, where there's not an explicit custom to make a wall, would we entertain at all that you would be mechayev the other one? But that's contradicted from the diuk of the seifa of by bikka, where it's only if the minig is not to make that you did not mechayev, but if it's stam, then you would. How do we understand that? So Abaya says that this that the Mishnah is saying when it says v'chein begina, then it says the words mokum shnogu ligdor, those words are actually not going back on the word right before v'chein begina, it's actually going on bikka. Hachikam, and this is what the Mishnah was saying. V'chein stam gina, when it says v'chein begina means, and so too the halacha applies in regards to a general garden. And there's ubimakim shenagu ligder, which is bibika, and regarding a place where the custom is to go ahead and make a wall. For example, let's say in a bika, but in regards to a stam bika, then you wouldn't. But in regards to a place where you a place of a bika where you would by grain fields, then mechayev and I say then we hold the person, the neighbor, has to go ahead and share the expenses of making the wall. Now that asked the Gemara, Amalei Rava asked Abaye Imkem. But if that's how you're interpreting the Mishnah, then my avol. Then why does the Mishnah then say, after it says v'chein begina, and then these words of mokum shnogu ligdor, which you're translating as mokum shnogu ligdor of a bika, then mechayev v'aisai, so it's saying two different halachas, saying a regular gina and a bika, which is a lower level in hezekriya. So, okay, when it's a minik to be ligdor, then you would be mechayevim. Then why does the Mishnah go on and say, avol b'bika, but by a bika, but that you're in the middle of talking about a bika according to your interpretation? What the Mishnah should have said is that, yes, there's a v'chein begina, and Umakam shnogu ligdor, which is makam shnogu ligdor of a bika, then mechayev naisei. Then they should have said, "Ava makam shnogu shaloi ligdor," but in the place where the custom is not to make a wall, then ein mechayev naisei. So first of all, it shouldn't have said "Ava bika," and more of it should have said not a makam that nagu ligdor. It should have said makam shnogu shaloi ligdor. Then we're not mechayev him, because in regards to a bika, we're in the middle of describing it. That's saying if it's makam that we are nagu ligdor, then we are mechayev. So why does it say Aval Bebika? Elam Rabbah rather gives a different interpretation. It says Hachikatan, this is what the Mishnah is saying. V'chein stam gina, that when it says v'chein begina, it means, and so to a regular garden, is kim makim shenogu ligdor dami. Although it says the words v'chein begina, makim shenogu ligdor, it means that it's like a place which the custom is to go out and make a wall. And Umachayim and I say, they have a regular garden, since there's always stuff growing over there, we always hold like it's a place where you make a wall, and then we make the neighbor liable to share in the expense of the wall. I will stam bika, when then the Mishnah then says, but regards to where there's only fields of grain, where it's only, let's say, 1 month a year that you really have the stuff growing over there, then regards to stam bika, is kamakim shaloi no gudami, it's like a place where the custom is not to go out and make a wall. And therefore, that's why we don't hold them liable. Again, if the makam is lagder, then we're going to be mechayvim. But if it's a makam that's a stam bika, then it's like shaloi nagu, and therefore not going to hold liable. And therefore, that's the explanation of the Mishnah, that a gina is a place where the stam is that you are ligder, and therefore you're going to be mechayvim. And in regards to a bika, the meaning is that stam that you would not make a get, and therefore, unless you know otherwise that the meaning is yes to be lagder, you would not be mechayv the neighbor to make a wall. Now, the Mishnah then went on to say and explain, so Ella, rather, so regards to this bika, since you cannot be mechayiv, because generally by fields of grain, people are not makbid, they're not particular if people could see, because it's only there, the grain really only 1 month a year, so you cannot be mechayiv the neighbor to have to share in the expense of making a wall. So said the Mishnah, imratza, if one of the parties, one of the persons who has a field over there, wants to have a wall, so kainis l'teich shalo, yubayna, so he could gather the area of the wall into his area of where his field is, and build it over there, and I'll make this sign on the outside to show that it was his wall on his property, so if anything ever happens, it's not shared with him and his neighbor, it's all of his, but he has to make the wall himself, and then he could put a sign that it's only his. So the Gemara says, my chazis, what is this chazis, what's this sign that is that's this protrusion that's being used by the person to illustrate that it's his wall? So Amar Funi says, achfei le lekarno labar. What he does is that he has the top edge of the wall should bend out towards the outer, towards his neighbor's field, because the word chazis always means the edge, as Rashi proves from other places. Now, so what he would do is he would bend the top edge of the wall, which is attached over there at the top with bricks and with mud, with cement, with plaster, and it was thick over there, so you'd bend it towards the outer part. That's what's called chazis. That would show that it's his wall. So ask the Gemara of Benevin Milagav, why doesn't he do it facing inward? That would show that it's towards him, that it's his. So says the Gemara, because Avit Chavri Nami Milabar, if he's going to do it inward, which is going to show that it's like his, protecting him, but then his friend could do the same thing on the outside. V'amar Didividideyu, and then he could say that it was mine and his. Because as the Mishnah tells us, that actually when they both do make the wall by a grain field, which many times they don't make it at all, then you make chazis on either side. So if he's going to make it bending inward, so he's going to make it bending outward. So therefore, you don't want to make it inward. Rather, you make it only outward. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, if that's the case, so his neighbor is going to actually cut off that part which bends over towards his part. And he's going to say that actually the wall was actually made by both me and him, and we didn't make a chazis, because look, there is nothing bending out in either direction. Because the part that bends out towards the outside, he's going to cut off. Says the Gemara, no, Gizuza made the idea. It's recognizable when you cut off the part of the wall that you chop it off, and therefore, even if it's going to do that, it's going to be recognizable, and therefore we'll still know that it was the person on the inside that had made the wall. That's one interpretation of Rav Huna, that regarding the bending of the wall, you do it towards the outside. Now, Igadami, the Doza say, that I'm Rav Huna, it says the other way around. Michva lekarnam legab, that you would bend the wall towards the inside, towards his side. The Gemara later on is going to ask that, but the Mishnah actually says clearly that you make the chazis mibachutz, from the outside. How could he say it from the inside? But first the Gemara asks, why? Why do you bend it towards the inside? V'nevid milbar. Why don't you make it towards the outside? Says the Gemara, because guy's lechavri, his friend's going to cut off the part that's sticking outside. V'amar didibididehu, and he's going to say, this wall's mine and his. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so hashti nama leif lechavri. If that's the case, his friend is also now going to go ahead and attach his own chazis, facing towards himself. V'amar didibidehu, he's going to say that it's mine and it's his. Because if he's having it facing towards the inside, so he bends the wall inside, so this guy's going to make also add on some cement, some bricks, and face it towards his side too. Says the Gemara, no, lefufa made the idea. You could tell when someone just made an add-on, when he's adding on. So you could tell that that's not really part of the primary structure of the wall, and then we'll know whose wall it really is. But then the Gemara asks a fundamental question on this version of Rav Huna, but v'hami b'chutz k'tani. But in our Mishnah, it says clearly that you make the chazis from the outside. How can you say that the bend is towards the inside? Says the Gemara Kasha, it's a difficulty, which Tosfos says that the terminology Kasha always connotes that it's a question, but it's not a tuyufte refutation. Why isn't it a refutation? Because we could say that this that it says mibachutz, it means to say just that it's from the outside, that means it extends outward from the wall. But it could mean that it extends outward from the wall inwards and not outwards. But Tosfos says it's still a question because then it should have actually said mechutz. Mechutz l'chaimah, from outer, meaning that it extends outer of the wall, and not mibachutz, which sounds like from the outside, because therefore that's a question, because according to this version of Rav Huna, it's inward and not outward. So that's one interpretation of Chazis, that it's the bending of the wall. Rabbi Yechonam, he gives a different interpretation of what this Chazis is, as we continue to Talmud Beis. He says, Nishaye ba'amsa milabar. What he does is he smears this clay on an amma of the top of the wall on the outer part of the wall. That shows that it's the one who's in the inside of this wall that made the wall. So the Gemara has to be Navim Lagab. Why? Why don't you make that amma of this cement, of this clay, on the inside? Says the Gemara, no, Ovid Chavri Melabar, because then if he's going to make it on the inside of the wall, then his friend's going to do the same thing on the outside, which is by his side. Vamar Didei B'Didei, he's going to say, it's mine and it's his. Because look, whoever has it on the inside of their wall, it's theirs. So if he's going to make it on his inside, he's going to make it on his inside. So the Gemara says, but Yachi Ashenami, if that's the case, then here also, the Kafalei Chavri. His friend is going to go ahead and peel off the because now it's on his side of the wall. He can't get to what's in this guy's property. This guy originally made it on the outside because he made it in his property. He brought it in. But this guy has access to the outer part of the wall. He's going to peel off his cement, his clay. The Amr, he's going to say it's mine and it's his. Because look, no one has a sign because we shared it. So the Gemara no kilufa made the idea. It's recognizable when you peel off that cement. And therefore, it's not going to help him. We'll still know that it's the guy on the inside who had made the wall himself. Now, the Gemara asks the Hutza, if let's say they had, as we explained, Omid Aleph, that's why they said Hakol Kamilik Medina, sometimes they make the wall out of palm fronds, out of lulav branches. So if let's say they make the wall out of these branches. So how do you make a chazis over there to illustrate that it's the guy who had made the wall, that it's only him? So Amar of Nachman, he says, Sinufi Yirechi Milabar. The edges of the branches should be facing towards the other person's field. And therefore, when you have the ends of the branches, when you weave them through and you end off the end of the branches, they should be facing outside, towards the outside. That shows that the one on the inside had made that wall. So ask the Gemara of Venevim Lagab, why don't you make it on the inside? So the Gemara, because of Venevim Chavim Lagab, because then his friend will do the same thing on the outside. Vama didiva didei, when he says it's mine and it's his. So the Gemara says, Yachi Ashtanami. But now the same thing is also over here. If you're saying because it's problematic that he has access to the outside, Gai's Vashadile. He'll cut off those branches which are facing outwards and we'll throw it away. Vama Didividideh. We say it's mine and it's his because you don't have any definitive branches sticking outward from the inside guy to show that it's his. Says the Gemara, no Mashik Leitina. Because the guy on the inside who's making the wall, he'll also take these branches and he'll smear it with this mud, with this clay. And that will prevent his ability of cutting off the edges of those branches. So Zigmo, but Hashinami Osechavi Vekolafle, but still he'll come and he'll peel off that clay, that mud, and then he'll go ahead and cut off the branches. So Zigmo, no Kilufa made the idea. It's recognizable when you peeled off that cement, and therefore that itself will already have showed us what he did, and therefore since that you see that residue, so therefore we're not concerned for what he's going to do. Now, actually, Abayom, he says, actually, Hutza less late tekanta. You're right. If the guy made the wall out of Hutza, there's no rectification to prove that he had made the wall himself. Elabishtar, only with a document. So if let's say one person made it himself, he should bring witnesses who should sign and verify when he's putting up the wall that it's his. And if let's say both of them did it, then witnesses should come and seal and sign that they both did it. Because Abaye holds that actually you could peel off the mud from the top of the palm fronds and it won't be recognizable. And therefore, it's not going to help, and therefore you won't have any chazis, you won't have any sign. So rather, the only way is documentation to prove that he made the wall himself. Now the Mishnah went on and said that avlam asu midashneim, but if let's say the wall was made with, although let's say in the bikka, where there's wheat fields, many times they don't make walls at all, and therefore if one person wants to, it's like a mugum shenogu shaloi ligdur, he has to make it himself. But if let's say they both want to go ahead and make the wall, they both are agreeable to that, then they both make a chazis on for both of them. So on that, ask the Gemara, Omle Rava Mirpazikal Ravashi, but why? Why do they have to make two chazis, which we say it's on the outside or in the inside, so they're both making it. Now we have on both sides of the wall this sign. Lo yasu, let them not make this chazis. Lo yizeh, but lo yizeh. Let neither one of them make a chazis, and that will be the sign that neither one of them solely had made it, because if that had been, then he would have made a chazis on the outside, and by not having any chazis, so that by default we know that they both made it. So Malay, so he answers him, you're right. Lo yitzricha, this halach is only necessary to kodim chad minayu v'avir didei, where one of them went and made his own chazis on the outside first. No, so once one of the partners already made his chazis to show that he has a partnership in this wall, v'ilo avit chavri, now if the other one's not going to make his own chazis, amr didehu, the other one's going to say that it's mine, because look, I'm the only one that has chazis. So in such a case, when they had both did it and one guy already made his chazis, that's when the halacha, the Mishnah is saying it, that the other one should make a chazis. That asked the Gemara. But Tana takanta l'rami kamash malon. So what the Tana is coming to teach us, halacha, only what to do to avoid and to help out in situations when we're concerned for the other person being a Rami, being someone that's a thief, that's a tricker. That's why the Mishnah has to say a special halacha if one guy already first made his chazis, when he doesn't have to, because they both chipped in. If he does it, then you go out and you make another chazis to prevent him claiming that he made it himself. That's what the halacha is coming to teach us? So he responded back to him, he says, I don't understand. The reisha, what? The beginning of the Mishnah that said, that first halacha, that said, in general, a bika, if one guy makes the wall himself. So he said that he makes a chazis on the outside of the wall, because he's the only one that made the wall. Lavta kanta l'ramehu, isn't that halacha itself also just telling us to prevent that his friend shouldn't say, oh no, that we both made the wall together? Why are you asking on this halacha, the way I'm interpreting it, that it's talking about where one of them already made it, and therefore that's why the other guy makes a chazis? Isn't this first part of this halacha, when he's making the wall himself, a chazis in its own inception, is because of takanta l'ramai? So Amalei, so he said to him, no. Bishlem ereisha, I could understand the first halacha. Tana dina. There's a law that the Mishnah is teaching us. The Mishnah is teaching us that since a bika, since where there's wheat fields, the custom is not to go out and make walls. People are not particular about people seeing their wheat fields. So the Mishnah is teaching us a halacha that when one of the neighbors wants to make a wall, he cannot force the neighbor to make a wall with him. Rather, the halacha the Mishnah is teaching us is that he has to put the wall from within his boundaries and build it over there. So, umishum dina. So once the Mishnah is teaching us a law, a halacha, satani takanta. So it said, okay, just that you should know, since that's halacha, you have to make the wall yourself, and you're going to make yourself, so go ahead and make a chazis because of a ramah, because so that the other person, your neighbor, doesn't claim that it's his wall too. But el seifa, regarding the next halacha, the way you're interpreting it, dina katani, diktani takanta, was there a law that's being taught that then it should say, based on that law, just, you know, for your FYI, to be careful, go ahead and do this? No, there's no din that the Mishnah is teaching us. Because it's obvious if the wall is being made with the consent of both of them, that they both have to go ahead and share in the expenses and the space of the wall. So the only halacha that the Sefer of the Mishnah is teaching us is the takanta of that both of them should make a chazis. And why do you have to make both a chazis? We said you shouldn't make any chazis. He said because if one of them already made, he'll claim that it's his. So that's the whole halacha the Mishnah is teaching us, is a halacha of takanta. But that wouldn't be appropriate to teach a whole halacha just for takanta when there's no din being taught. So Ravina answers, he says, Hacha behutza askino. Here the Mishnah is talking about when the wall was made out of palm fronds, where there actually is a din being taught, and that's why takanta. Because lafuki mida abaya, the Mishnah is coming to teach us to exclude from abaya. The Amar hutza lesli takanta el bishtar, we just quoted before, that abaya said that by a hutza wall, there's nothing to do about it as in way of chazis. The only way is through a document, because he could peel off the cement, he could cut off the branches, there's no way to prove that it's your wall. Kamash malan, that says Ravina, is actually what the Mishnah is coming to teach, de bechazis sagya, where it is teaching a din, although it's not explicit there, but obviously it's coming to teach us some halacha. That's what Ravina says, that's coming to tell you that a chazis would be enough. And therefore, that when it's saying that when you make this wall, and it's with the two of you agreeing, and one of them already made a chazis, and the chazis works by a wall made out of branches, and that's a din that it's teaching us, that chazis works by that. Therefore, that's what it's saying. Once we're telling you a din, then we're telling you takanta, so let the other guy make a chazis too, because then this guy will claim that it's solely his wall, when in reality they actually had both sheared and in the building of this wall. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on a related vein from the previous Mishnah, which we were speaking about making mechitzais between two different areas, two different fields, or splitting up a courtyard. which we had said that it's not, the last halacha of the previous Mishnah was that it's not the norm to make walls in a bika, in a place where there's people have their fields. So on that, the Mishnah says, Hamakev es chaveri misholesh ruchaisim. If someone surrounds his friend, his neighbor, his field on three sides, meaning he purchased the fields on three sides on the three boundaries of this person's field, the gather, and then he goes and he fences all his fields, esrishayna, besashniya, besashlishas. He fences off the three directions. So it comes out that the person in the middle of this guy who has the middle field is surrounded on three sides. So if one would imagine a tic-tac-toe board, where if you have this guy is on three sides of him, and in the middle is this guy's field. So he's surrounded, and this guy fenced his fields on the inside, and he's surrounded now by this guy. So it says the Mishnah, Eimechai ben Isai. So we don't hold the middle field liable to give anything, because here he is, he's fencing in his field, he's doing him a favor. He doesn't have to pay him anything. And the reason for this is because actually we learned in the previous Mishnah, which the Gemara explained on Amud Aleph, that Stam Bika, by fields, it's a makam that Shenagu Shaloi Lagderu. It's a place where the custom is not to make walls. So regards to what we call Hezek Riya, he hasn't really helped him anything in the sense of that now he's protected from this guy's field, because people are not particular. You didn't really do me any favor that I should be obligated in sharing the expenses of making a wall. Now, moreover, as Rashi brings here, there's a Haggah that says that the reason for this halacha is because ultimately he really didn't help him even in a different regard too. Because the other element, so Hezek Riya, people are not particular, so that you can't be mechayev me in sharing the expenses, although you surrounded me on three sides and now your fields are separated from my fields. But moreover is, everyone could come into this middle guy's field from the fourth direction, which is not covered, because this guy doesn't have real estate on his fourth side to surround him over there. So since everyone, animals, whatever, thieves could come in, so he's not really helping him. But in actuality, if let's say he would have surrounded him on all four sides and fenced him in, then actually, as the Gemara will explain, then we would hold the middle field liable for compensation, because he has a shared interest over here in what he's being protected on all four sides by being fenced in by the outer guy's fencing. Now, the reason is because although the Gemara did tell us that Stam Bika is a makam shenogu shaloi lagderhu, where you cannot force the neighbor to go ahead and share the expenses, that's only, let's say, between fields and the other field. And in regards to making a wall that's four amas high. For that he doesn't need, because he doesn't need it high that no one can see in. But that's because we're not concerned for Hezek Riya. But because of damages to animals, that they shouldn't come in to go ahead and ruin his plantation, that you need to have a wall at least that's 10 tefachim high to stop animals from coming in, that he is helping him if it would be fenced on all four sides, and then he would be liable to share in the expenses, as Igmo will explain. So that's the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yisim, he says, Im amad v'gadar es revias, if he gets up, which the Gemara will explain, that's talking about what's called the nikif, the one who's in the middle field who's being fenced in. If he gets up and he goes and then he fences in the fourth side, which was not fenced in through the guy on the exterior of him who surrounded him on three sides, so then the halacha is megalgan lav es hakol. Then we devolve upon him the responsibility of sharing the expenses of actually even from the first three walls. Now the reason for that is because since he fenced in the open side, he has revealed his intention that he's pleased with this, that his friend fenced him in. He's like, great, I'm fenced on three sides, let me just pay for a fourth wall. Now I'm totally surrounded, no one can get in and ruin my crops. So, you see that you are pleased with it, then you have to go ahead and share the expenses of the first three by making the fourth wall. So Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, he says, Halacha Krib Yisi, Halacha is like Krib Yisi in our Mishnah. The Amar that he says, Im Amad V'Gadres Revias, if he gets up and he closes off now in the fourth side too, Magalgalam V'Sakol, so we make him pay now for all the four walls, not just the fourth wall that was made, which now was made, but he has to share in the expenses of the first three walls too. And he says, Leishna Amad Nikif, Leishna Amad Makim. It doesn't make a difference if it was the guy who was fenced in and made the fourth wall, or even if the one on the outside, who now, let's say he bought the fourth piece of property surrounding him on all four sides, makes another fourth wall, now he's totally surrounded. Doesn't make a difference, as we'll see in the Gemara, there are different interpretations of what is the machlokes on the common Rabbi Yisi. But the way Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel is saying it, that Rabbi Yisi holds, it doesn't make a difference if the Nikiv made it or the Makiv made it. If he's fenced on all four sides, now he's totally closed, he is gaining now because he's protected. Now he has to share in the expenses of all the four walls. Now, on this halacha idma, we learned as follows. Rav Huna Amar, he says, Hakol lefi mashagadar, everything according to what was used to fence him in. In other words, the one on the outside who had fenced him in, whatever the expenses were, the middle guy who was surrounded now by all four sides has to give him half of those costs because he's like a partner in those walls. Chiyah Baravam, he disagrees. He says, no, hakol lefi dimei kanim bezel. He has to give him only according to how much you could buy cheap reeds. Because the guy who was fenced in the middle could tell him, look, you're right. You definitely benefited me by surrounding me on all four sides. But for me, it was enough if I would just have a wall made out of reeds. I don't want, and I'm not pleased that you spent a lot of money on making a wall out of bricks. So therefore, I'm not willing to share with you the expense of such an expensive type of a wall. A basic wall, that I would be willing, and that's I'm benefiting from, and therefore he only has to give him that value. That's the machlekes. So the Gemara asks Tanan. The Gemara asks from our Mishnah on this opinion of Reb Chiya bar Rav. Our Mishnah said, the Tanakama was, HaMakiv es chaver mishalash rechaisim. Someone surrounds his friend on three sides. The Goddess, Rishayin v'sashneh v'sashlish. Now he fences him in, now separating between his field and the inner guy's field, on all three sides. So he said in the Mishnah that we're not going to hold the middle guy liable to sharing the expenses because ultimately he didn't help him anything because he's still open on the fourth side. Now, the inference, however, is, Harevi is, but if let's say that he was fenced in on the fourth side too, then we would hold the middle guy liable to sharing the expenses because now he has benefited him because now he's clothed on all four sides. Ask the Gemara Eimer Seifa. Let's look at the end of the Mishnah. The next opinion says, Rabbi Yisim, he says, Im amad v'gadur es revius, if he gets up and he fences him now on the fourth side, magagn lef esakol, then we hold him responsible to sharing the expenses of all the walls. So ask the Gemara as follows. Bishlam Rav Huna, we could understand their machlekes according to the interpretation of Rav Huna in Rabbi Yisi's halacha. The amad that he says, that hakol, this that Rabbi Yisi says that with magagn lef esakol, that he has to pay for everything, he had interpreted, lefi mashagadur ba. Exactly according to the expenses that the guy on the outside had spent, that's how much now the middle guy has to give half of those expenses. So says the Gemara, Hainu de Iko Bein Tanakam, Reb Yisi. According to that interpretation of Reb Yisi, we would now know what is the dispute between the Tanakam and Reb Yisi. And that is because Tanakama, who did not use the terminology of Hakoil, he says that the words of the Tanakama are, we're not Mechayivim, but the inference is if the all four walls were done, then we would be Mechayivim. But it doesn't say that we'd Mechayivim Hakoil. Reb Yisi is the one that says, "Omagalim es hakol." So the Tanakama doesn't say that everything is because Saba he holds hakol lefi demei kanim bezoil in. He holds that what do we hold him liable for? We hold him liable for now that he's friends on all four sides for what the cheapest type of wall would be allowed to be. But according to what the guy had made the walls, that we wouldn't be mechayivim. So that would be the machlekes according to Tanakama and Reb Yisi, because Tanakama holds only the basic wall he has to pay. But Reb Yisi Sover HaKol Lefi Mashagadur. Reb Yisi holds that no, you have to pay exactly according to what was used on the outer, how Rav Huna had said, that it's going to be according to what the expenses actually were. Because as Rashi points out, you can't say that the Tanakama was specifically talking about only if the Makif, because that's who he was talking about, says that the Makif, the one on the outside, surrounds him on three sides. The inference is, if he surrounded him on all four sides, then he would be chayv. So, says Rashi, to for one, don't say that, oh, no, the Tanakam would hold that if the makif, the one on the outside, surrounds him on all four sides, then he'd be chayv. But if, let's say, the guy on the inside, he makes the fourth wall, then he wouldn't be chayv, because, to the contrary, that's a kol shekein. If where he does not reveal his intention that he's okay with what he's being fenced in, still we hold him chayv because now he's fencing all four sides by the one on the outside. For sure when he reveals his intention by building the fourth wall himself, for sure he's going to be chayv. Now, oh, you like it. Now you for sure got to share in the expense of the first three. So therefore that wasn't a viable approach. Moreover, the Gemara assumes right now in the opinion of Rabbi Yisi that, as we had said from Rabbi Yehuda, that the halacha that he's saying is whether it's the nikif or the makiv that makes the fourth wall that we're going to megalgalav es hakil. It's just that it seems like the machlekes between the Tanakama and Reb Yisi is that regarding when you megalgal this hakol, that's what they're disagreeing about. Regarding Reb Yisi seems to be adding on that the obligation of all four walls is more than the Tanakama. So according to Rav Huna's interpretation, we understand what the more is. Because like Rav Huna had explained, Reb Yisi is holding that even all the expenses, no matter how expensive he had made the wall, the guy in the inside has to share. So you could say the Tanakama was, no, to make kan bezel. But El Chiba Rab, according to Chiba Rab's interpretation, the Amad that he says, Hakol, that this, when Rabbi Yehuda said Hakol, was Lefi Demekon Bezoil, it doesn't mean everything. It doesn't mean even the expenses that he had. But it means according to the most basic wall that he would have needed, he has to share the expenses. So my Ikub Bein Tanakam, Rabbi Yehuda, so what is the Machlekes between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? If you're saying that the Tanakam is less than Rabbi Yisi, and that is he's not even giving what Rabbi Yisi is holding according to Rabbi Chiya, to give even cheap pegs, cheap reeds, so then my Kiyovli. So what exactly is the guy who is fenced in on the inside giving to the guy on the outside, that the Dik, according to the Tanakama, is that we're going to be Mechayiv him if he's fenced in all four sides? So says the Gemara, four approaches to explain the Machlekes Tanakam and Rabbi Yisi. If you want, you could say that Agnatir Ikebenai, the difference between them would be the payment for a watchman to watch his field, which is very little that he has to give for a shomer every single year, because it's really only 1 month out of the year when the grain is really standing. So then he has to protect it to make sure that thieves don't come or animals don't come. So that would be the difference between Tanakam and Rabbi Yisi. That is Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama holds Agnatir in, yes. If you're fencing all four sides, so now you got to compensate the guy who fenced you in on the outside for how much the wage would be to hire a watchman for that 1 month of the year. Because that's much you gain. Now you didn't need a watchman, now you're fenced in. But to make kind of bizarre lie, but to pay for the construction of an entire fence, even a cheap fence like made out of reeds, that he doesn't have to pay. Whereas Rabbi Yisi said to make kind of bizarre. But Rabbi Yisi said, no, you have to give the value of at least the cheapest wall that made out of reeds. That's one approach for this interpretation of Rabbi Chiya Bar Rav. V'ibayisim, if you want, you could say a second approach. The difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yisi is regards to the payment of the first, second, and third walls. And that is Tanakam Saver, Rabbi Yisi Diyavli. Tanakam holds that although yes, that if the one who went and built the three walls around him went and built a fourth wall, so if he builds only three walls, Tanakama says, Eime Chayim Nosek, he's not helping him. The inference is, if he builds a fourth wall, then he would be Chayiv. What's he Chayiv for? He's Chayiv for the fourth wall itself. But regarding the first three walls, that he doesn't have to pay him for. Now the reason for that is, the logic is, because when he first made the first three walls, if let's say he would take him to court, there the halacha would be, he wouldn't have to pay. And this was like this for a long time, because the first three walls didn't help him at all. Now, if the one on the inside would go ahead and build the fourth wall himself, then in actuality, he wouldn't be giving anything to the person on the outside, because, again, regards to the law of the first three walls, that already he proved himself that it's not helping him. So when he makes the fourth wall himself, or even if the Makiv makes the fourth wall, okay, he'll have to pay him for the fourth wall, but not for the first three walls. But Rabbi Yisi suffers, whereas Rabbi Yisi holds it, no. It doesn't make a difference if the guy on the inside or the guy on the outside, when they go and they make a fourth wall, no matter who makes it, that you have to go ahead, like the words of Rabbi Yisi are Megalgal Basakol, he has to go ahead and pay him the value of a reed fence for not only the fourth wall, but for all four walls, because now it's not just the gain of the fourth wall that he's getting the gain of all the walls, and either because he showed his interest or because now he's fencing him all four sides, he's got to pay him to make Kanbazel. That's the second approach. Or if you want, you could say, the makif and nikif ikibinai. The difference between them is not if you have to give for all four walls, that you have to give. Rather, the difference is who is the one that's fencing in the fourth wall. That's the difference between them. And that is the Tanakama saver, taimed am nikif. Tanakama holds the reason why that you're going to be mechayivim on all of it is because since the guy on the inside gets up and he fences up the fourth wall, then the megalgal levas are called. Then we're going to hold him liable. Oh, you like this. You're happy with this wall. I see you making a fourth wall. Now you got to pay for all the walls. Aval amin makif. But if the guy on the outside would get up and fence him in the fourth side, then ain't a nice and little demay revius. Then we don't have to pay him for the wall of the fourth wall because that he's benefiting from him. Although that's benefiting now with all three, but the first three was already putter until the fourth wall was made. Whereas Rabbi Yisi Sava held that no, loishna nikniv, loishna makif. Rabbi Yisi held that no. It doesn't make a difference if the guy who's being fenced in, he makes the fourth wall, or the guy who fences him and makes the fourth wall. Im amad v'gadr, if they get up and whoever it is makes the fourth wall, magalgan lof sakol, it has to pay for the entire four walls of the Mekan and Bezel. The Shnachrina, a different version, a fourth approach, the opposite, that it's also makif and nikniv ikibinayu. The difference between them are if who is it that's fencing on the fourth wall, the guy who's surrounding him or the guy who's being surrounded. Tanakama Savar im Goder Makif HaSarabis. This version has it that the Tanakama holds that if the guy who is surrounding him, even if he's the one that makes the fourth wall, Nami Yovle, that you're also going to have to give him the value of all the four walls, and that is because according to this version, Tanakama agrees to Rabbi's halacha, where if the Nikiv goes and makes it, that he's going to have to pay for all four walls, but even if the Makiv makes it, he's going to have to pay for all four walls. Whereas in this version, Rabbi Yisi Sabra holds that, no, he does not agree to the Tanakama regarding if the Makiv makes the wall. It's only im Oman Nikiv for Godem Servias, if the guy who's being surrounded, he goes after the three walls are made and makes his own fourth wall, then who the Yavle, that's when he has to give the payment of the other three walls to the one that surrounded him, because the goli died, did it nichle, because he revealed his intention that he's happy with those three walls, because his fourth wall on its own wouldn't do anything if he doesn't have those three walls. But if, let's say, the Makiv goes and makes the fourth wall, then lo yov lemidi, then they wouldn't have to give him anything. And that is because Tanakama holds in this fourth version, which is the inverse of the third interpretation, is that it doesn't make a difference if it's the Nikiv or the Makiv. When the fourth wall is made, we hold him liable for all the walls. Because the Tanakama is talking about with the Makiv, because those are the words he's talking about. Someone surrounds him, a person on three sides, that then he's not going to be chayiv. The inference is, that's why this Lashon Acher switches around, the inference is, but if the fourth wall is made, then we would hold him chayiv. That is, on all four walls. And for sure, if the Nikiv goes, because he's revealing his attention, that he's okay with it, for sure he'd be chayiv on all four. So that's the opinion of the Tanakama, whereas Rabbi Yisrael would hold that, no, it's only if the Nikiv does it, and not the Makiv. So those are the resolutions for Rabbi Barav. What is the Machlokes Tanakama and Rabbi Yisrael? According to Rav Huna, it was very simple. Is it Megalgel Levas HaKoil, which is all the expenses he has to give half, or like the Tanakama is saying that no, only the Mekan Bezel, whereas according to the interpretation of Chiba Rav, Rabbi Yisrael only holds that you have to pay the Mekan Bezel. What is Tanakama saying that you'd be chayiv if he makes him on the fourth wall? Either it's talking about that you have to give him Aga Natira, how much he's saving by not having a guardian, or the Machlekes would be regarding all the first three walls. Tanakama would hold that it's the fourth wall that he has to pay him, but not the first three, whereas Rabbi Yisrael holds even the first three. Or then we have these two different versions in the third and fourth answer, that it's the difference between them would be the Makiv and the Nikiv. Yeah, they hold the same halacha, that you have to pay for all four walls if the fourth wall is made, and it's they both hold it's the Mekan Bezel. The only question is, if the Makiv goes and does it, would he then be chayiv or not? Is it only by the Nikiv, because he's revealing his intention that he's okay with it, then he has to pay for all three? Or is it even if the Makiv does it, because now you're surrounded on all four sides, now you have to pay me for the value of a wall, albeit a Demei Kana Bezel, which is the cheapest type of wall that could be made.